Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. And if you listen often enough, you know that every month we have our friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show to talk about health and the healing process. Today we're going to talk about something kind of interesting. And we always set the stage with a conversation that he and I have for a few minutes. But that doesn't mean you don't... You can change the trajectory of our conversation. You can call with your question and we'll go where you want us to go. The phone lines are open, but we are going to be chatting for a few minutes. 877-933-2484. You can call or text, or you can email middays@myfaithradio.com. But did you know that though there are general rules to our overall health, and we'll talk about some of those, there's not a one-size-fits-all formula for you to enjoy your best health. You have some very specific needs, and you actually have some deficits. And once you start plugging the holes in your health, you start to build up your reserves. And once you do that, did you know that sickness has less of a chance of overtaking you? So how do you know which supplements are good for you? And how do you know which ones just sort of create expensive urine? I hope that's okay to say on the air, but, you know, some of them do, right, Doc?
Absolutely.
So how do you know when to fast? How do you know when to eat? And did you know that that is even unique to you? Well, we'll answer those questions and more. We're going to take your calls and texts and emails. Quick caveat, I need to say this every month. Dr. Troy isn't here to diagnose you over the air. So his advice isn't at all meant to take the place of your doctor. Always consult your doctor before making any changes to your health. But we want to have just a really awesome conversation, teach you things you may not know, choices that you actually have to move yourself towards the healing process. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. He loves God. He's passionate about health and the healing process. He and Christine are parents of 10, count them, 10 kids, and he's a good friend of the show and to me. Dr. Troy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. So, as you know, you've been on for so many, I can't even count how many times you've joined us, but we like to start by talking scripture. Wondering if you have a verse for us today.
I do. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Talk about that.
For me, one of the things I've always said to my kids is if you get stuck, ask God a better question. And so God has answers for you. It's not always how we think or where we think we're going to find it. And God will lay out answers for you. So when it comes to your health, in particular, it's important to keep asking questions, pray to God, and he will direct you. And sometimes the answer is right in front of you. Sometimes it comes in the form of a friend talking about something they're going through. Sometimes it comes you never know. I'm always surprised how I learn how I'm supposed to help the next person, because it can come from a variety of sources. A lot of people think because I'm in the healthcare world, I learn everything in the healthcare world, getting taught by mentors or other teachers. And I learn just as much by stumbling into it like everyone else does, whether it be a research article or another patient talking about something they've experienced, or very, very commonly, my wife says, what do you know about this? As we're sitting on the couch, and I say, I don't know anything about that. So then I start reading it, and it's actually something that's helpful for a patient I'm seeing the next day or
Isn't
something
that
like that. Happens all the time, and that's just not, God doesn't just do that for myself. He does that for all of us.
Yeah.
So just know that there's an answer to every single question out there. God knows the answer to every single question. No one human knows the answer to every single question. So it's important to just keep asking God. He will answer it. The most important thing is, though, if you ask God a question, please be sure to be quiet, step back, listen, and observe, because a lot of times we miss the answer.
Yeah. He just makes sure to get us the wisdom that we need. If we can cultivate a listening life, we'll be absolutely amazed at the multiple streams through which this information comes. God is so good. He'll talk through a child, as you said, through an article. You may hear a word that triggers a memory, and it is just amazing. So we're going to use me as a case study just for fun here. But, you know, so I used to, before I met you years ago, you know, I took supplements based on what advertisers promised they would do for me. And there were times where I would feel so bogged down, like I clogged up my lymph system. I think I did, because I don't even know what was in those. So they backfired. It wasn't what I'd hoped, you know. Then I met you, and then Dr. Jimmy Ching is an MD, and Dr. Troy here is a functional med doc, and these two have become fast friends, and both of them are really how God rescued me out of the pit of my health battle. But I will say, after you both looking at my labs, you know, 22 tubes of blood later, friends, found what I was lacking in, and it was absolutely amazing. So you started me on sulfur. As soon as I started taking sulfur, I started to feel better. I stopped taking certain amounts of vitamin B and D, which most people need to take more of, but I needed to take less of because it was affecting my sleep. I started to sleep better when I did that. Then I started to wake up for 2 hours every night. And I asked you about that, and you said the funniest thing. You said, try eating a piece of chicken and an apple before you go to bed. I'm like, what? How come? Fiber and protein, you said. I think it's a low blood sugar level issue. So I started to eat a small piece of chicken and an apple. And I've always heard, go to bed hungry. And I think, as a general rule, that's probably true.
Yes.
And I would always go to bed hungry. But I started to, you know, I would eat a little bit lighter so I could have that snack before I went to bed. And I started sleeping through the night. I mean, it's an absolute marvel. I was saying before we went on the air, there was a certain brand of collagen that's highly advertised that I took for a year. It did nothing for me. I got off of that. Got on this organic collagen that includes peptides. I instantly started to feel better. My nails got stronger. All that to say, each of our situations is so unique to us. So just for fun, let's pick apart my situation kind of as a class lesson. So first of all, not every supplement is a supplement we should take. Take it from there.
Yes, absolutely. So you'll see research saying that vitamin D helps decrease this disease by 19% or 43%. But there is genetic uniqueness, number one. So some people absorb vitamin D at a much different rate than other people do. Some people activate it at a much different rate than others do. And other vitamins like B vitamins and things like that, there's a quality difference. So generally speaking, you pay for what you're getting for the most part with supplements. But also sometimes you don't even need the supplement. You need the real food. And so everyone is different. Number one, how you use what you're taking in is different. And so the most important thing is to pay attention to your body, not the research. Hmm. I say the same jokes all the time at clinic and with my patients. So my interns
they
are the ones who
eyes.
Hear that they do. They hear the same thing over and over and over again. But the reality is, many times when someone says, I've been taking B vitamins for 2 years, or I've been doing this for 2 years and it's not working, and we just tweak it a little bit by changing the type of vitamin or doing a different one, the standard joke is, well, your body has not read the textbook.
Hmm.
And that's a true statement, because the majority of people, you have to go by what is going on in your body. So that requires an awareness and a presence and a lot of self-reflection about what's working for me and what's not. In the beginning, it can be very cloudy because so many things are off and wrong. But as you start to clean things up, and I'll talk a little bit about the basics of what that looks like so people can start on those things. As you clean that up, you'll start to be able to discern through things a little bit. And that's where I'd say you are right now. You're very clear at what's working for you and what's not because of how good a job you've done at cleaning things up. So there is a big difference in the quality. So vitamin E is not vitamin E. There is a difference in the supplements as far as how they are made and how they're extracted, number one. Number two, even the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, quality matters. And so if you're breathing air from a moldy, contaminated basement, that quality of air is going to have a negative impact on you. Whereas if it's clean, pure air, then all of a sudden your brain gets lit up because it's got oxygen and you're doing much better. So there is a discerning that's needed. So you might read that vitamin E is good for you and you start taking it, but you might be taking a bad source or a bad brand, or there might be something else interfering with your ability to absorb that vitamin E.
What's so amazing is, some of you followed my journey. I had Lyme disease earlier, and then this relapse we thought was Lyme, but it was ended up being CIRS, C-I-R-S, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. It was a mold toxicity. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess it's 25% of the population has this mold-deficient gene where you can't process mold, and mold is in a lot of buildings. What's so amazing to me, with your help and your really careful oversight of my life and the things I've been taking, I have plugged the holes in my health, and I've shored up my reserves. So, what you know, when I travel as a conference speaker, you can never know. You know, some of these churches, like one of my events, they had us in an old youth building, and I was in there for a half hour. My jaw started to go numb. Then I got the head pressure. Then my vision blurred. And Kev went and walked around, and he saw black mold up on the ceiling and the wall. Because I whispered, I'm like, I know there's mold in this. I could be an inspector right now because I could tell you within 15 minutes, you know. But what's amazing is that I was in that building for 4 hours. I couldn't leave because of this event. That would have taken me weeks to recover from. I bounced back within a day and a half. I cannot even believe that. And it does. I still have to be careful because those things affect me. But shoring up my life and shoring up the reserves gives me a fighting chance. And we have to take a break. When we come back, I want you to unpack that maybe in general. Maybe you don't deal with, you know, SIRS, Lyme disease, an autoimmune issue. But we all need to build up our reserves, especially going into this cold and flu season. So maybe you can coach us a little bit on what are some very basic things we can all do to shore up our reserves. What do you think?
Absolutely.
All right. 877-933-2484. You can text or call. You can also email middays@myfaithradio.com. We're done using for me as a class lesson. We want to use you as a class lesson now. 877-933-2484. Dr. Troy Spurl is in studio. He's founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing in Eagan, Minnesota. And we will be back in a minute.
He put that hunger in your heart. He put that fire in your soul. His love is the reason to keep on believing.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Really honored to get to spend this time with you. Well, if you listen often enough, you know, once a month, our good friend Dr. Troy joins us in studio to answer your health and healing questions. And I see some of the calls coming in. Give us a moment to process those. Before the break, Doc, we are talking about the importance and the power of shoring up our reserves so that we can, you know, battle sickness. So talk about that idea, maybe just some basics that anybody can do and really ought to do as we head into the cold and flu season.
Yeah, so building up your reserves and filling those holes are actually really important for everyone across across the spectrum. Now, when it comes to some of the basics, people will look at this and say, well, yeah, I know that. But when you really do a deep dive into each and every one, there isn't really anyone who I see doing it 100% right for them. So the first thing is to really, really know your body. Look at what works for you and what doesn't, but then be able to discern through what's working for you but feels like it's not. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit here too. So when people start eating healthy, a lot, when they haven't eaten healthy, a lot of times they'll feel worse before they feel better. Generally speaking, any type of detox reaction from changing something that's improving your system, you'll feel bad for a week or two, maybe three at most, but it never goes beyond that. If you have withdrawal from something, like people who stop taking on caffeine, a lot of times can get headaches. Well, that shouldn't last longer than a week for the most part, occasionally 2 weeks. So you want to put things into play, give it at least 3 to 6 weeks to start to really measure and if there's an improvement there. If it's going on 4 or 5 weeks, it's not something that's doing well for you. So that's first and foremost. Get to know what's working for you, what's not. Some of the basics are, I'm going to list them off first and then go through where the most common mistakes are. Number one, we need to eat right. We'll explain that and go through that. Number two, we need to move. We need to exercise. Number three, we need sleep. And number four, we need to manage our stress. Those are the four areas that when done well, you can be in a good state of health. When they're not well, then there will be more holes to fill and eventually some disease to fight off or something like that. So when it comes to eating right, it's not eating like everyone else. For example, right now in the United States, we consume a lot more sugar than we did 100 years ago. In fact, 100 years ago, the average American consumed 5 pounds of sugar annually. Today, the same American consumes 160 pounds of sugar annually in 100 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't eat a lot of sugar, so someone's eating my share. Yeah, I'm just going to say that right now. Someone's out there eating 300 pounds of sugar a year.
Wow. And they ought not to be.
And they ought not to be, right. So so there's certain things that when we say eat right, even some people can't handle certain vegetables. So you need to look at what works for your body and what doesn't work for your body. Some people need more protein. Some people need less. So really, you can look at the research or the diets that are out there, but the you want to whittle it down to this is what works for me, and I know because I put it in play, and it works long term. When I went through some health stuff in my 20s, the three foods I had to give up to get my life back were eggs, apples, and onions. And then garlic was number four. So back then, we didn't know what that meant. Right now, we know that that's a telltale sign of SIBO. And that made sense with my history. I've found that out now, 20 years later versus, or 30 years later. But back then, we didn't really know that. But I avoided those, and that started to get me feeling better. And I went off of long-term how I felt. And a lot of my patients, we have to do that same thing. I now eat those foods freely and get the nutritional benefit from it. But if you are reacting to certain foods, you're not getting the nutrients from those foods. Mm. And then you commonly have side effects of that nutrient deficiency. For example, if you have an egg allergy and you're consuming eggs, you may not be absorbing the nutrients that are in those eggs, number one. Number two, if all of a sudden the eggs are being raised differently, then you don't have the nutrients available to you. For example, there is a significant difference between free-range chicken eggs and these practices where they have 10,000 chickens in this line of chicken coops that are manufactured, and you can just crack open the two eggs and see the difference.
Wow.
One egg is orange, the yolk is orange and just full of color and nutrients. The other egg yolk looks anemic. Now, both are eggs, but there's a big difference between one that actually will feed you and one that won't. So you have to discern through, am I reacting to this food? Is this the right food for me? Do I do better? For example, for myself, I did better when I keep my carbs under 100 grams a day. But I also don't do well if I don't at least eat 50 to 60 grams a day.
I'm the same way.
Yep, most
of
us are.
And I'll gain weight if I have too many carbs. I just, you know.
I'll gain weight if I think about eating carbs.
See, we're not supposed to have carbs, too many carbs. What's so amazing to me is, you know, I'm gluten, dairy, soy intolerant, and then I stay away from corn because of the inflammatory effect, whatever. So I would do almond milk once in a while, but I've noticed if I have more than my little bit of almond milk creamer, like if I have almond milk in a shake, now you normally you think a pea protein shake, so it's gluten, dairy, soy free. It's all healthy, good, you know, plant-based protein. With almond milk, you'd think, what's the problem? But I feel inflammation go right up in my body when I have it. So your point about being in tune is so huge. But we can't even read it correctly till we've done some elimination because our body's probably giving us so many mixed messages, right?
Right. So to figure out at home what you're doing, fasting is actually something that is very, very helpful. Just make sure you don't do it for too long if you're new to it. It's also biblical fasting. There's a lot of clarity that comes because when you clean all that stuff out, you actually get more insight and you don't have a lot of the inflammation, a lot of the detractors. So fasting and then reintroducing foods can give you that clarity at home. So people who can't afford testing, things like that, it's a food elimination program and you can just start with a short 2-day fast, 3-day fast, and then slowly introduce foods and see what you react to and what you don't.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about some of the most common foods to eliminate first and foremost. We've talked about that on the show before. We've got a few calls coming in. Rita is checking in from Dune, Iowa. Rita, thanks for holding you on with Dr. Troy.
Yes. I have a son that he was diagnosed with ectopic pancreas, atrophic gastritis, and EOE. And what we've noticed recently, if he has to get up early, he gets sick, like almost like morning sickness. If we let him sleep till he wakes up, he's fine. And we were wondering if possibly his circadian rhythms are off or if we need to start doing some kind of eliminations.
Yeah, so very a good question. And you're already kind of pointing out some things. When you notice key things like that, they're very, very important. So one of the things I think of when I hear that is the majority of the deep sleep that's restorative to the GI tract occurs towards the end of the sleep pattern. So early in the morning. So you let him sleep in. That's probably when he's getting into that deep restorative sleep. So we've got REM sleep. We've got deep sleep. And then we've got non-deep sleep. And so that tells us that he is getting the best restorative sleep towards the end of the night, which is the most common. And so it's very, very important to pay attention to that because right now that's the best thing you can do to help heal his digestive tract. It also tells you, though, with EOE, that's a sign, that's heightened eosinophils for those people listening, and that is a sign of either some level of histamine regulation problem, like mast cell disorder, or parasites can cause it, or infection. And then with the gastritis and the pancreatitis, infection can be causing that as well. So there's some discerning through there, but nothing will help heal that environment better than the sleep. So you have to continue to reinforce that and build off of that. There are different things you can do to help measure that. There are even the Apple Watches and some of the other bands and stuff are actually tracking your sleep patterns. It's okay to use something like that, even though it's not diagnostic or something that the hospital would use, to look at different patterns and assess what can be done. Starting to balance the histamine, the number one thing that kind of links between everything you just talked about is a pretty significant imbalance with methylation, which is actually one of the things I'm going to be talking about a little bit later in the show. So improving methylation is a big part of it. Methylation opposes histamine or mast cell dysfunction, and also zinc deficiency is also very, very common with that whole scenario. So there is a lot to discern through there. It's very challenging to fix a mast cell disorder. There's all that you have to rule out different infections. Lyme, mold, fungus are all part of it. A lot of variables there as far as age, but making sure he continues to get sleep, balancing his stomach acid. Proton pump inhibitors, although can help with the EOS, and that's oftentimes what is recommended is some type of steroid or a PPI, actually make the mast cell stuff worse. So it's something there to talk with your doctor about if they know about methylation and histamine imbalances. It would be very important to follow up with that. Identifying food reactions and infections, also very important as well. There's a lot there. The problem once you have that is the barrier of the stomach and small intestine can become compromised. So you can end up with leaky gut and then translocation of that bacteria. So reestablishing the digestive system gut lining is very, very important. And that there's a lot of factors there, but generally speaking, glutamine, zinc, and the sulfur, the cysteine that we talked about, and a product called histidine, which also is involved with the mast cell stuff, is very good for that scenario. But that's a complicated one, but it is something that can be addressed. Just got to decrease the inflammation and infection as much as possible. Keep them sleeping, especially towards the end, because that's one where I would actually write a note to make sure we get that deep sleep. In fact, I had to do that for Susie where she, our best recovery was happening at the same time at one point. And so I made sure she got that sleep because that was doing better than any nutrition or medication that we could have done.
Yeah, amazing. We're going to pause here. Justine and Frank, I see you're on the line there. We'll grab your calls after. Also, we'll say a little bit about methylation and we'll do our best to answer your questions. You can text, call, or email those questions. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Did you know that every single step towards health and healing matters? Every step, every little thing that you do in the direction of health and healing. It all adds up and creates a momentum in your health. We've got people calling in. This is the day. We have Dr. Troy on every month to answer questions on health and the healing process. And we've been talking about the methylation process and what that is. We'll revisit that. We need 2 hours, don't you guys think? Because we have so many things to talk about. But Justine is checking in from Iron River, and she's been on hold for a bit. So I want to see if we can get her question answered. Hey, Justine, thanks for holding. You're on with Dr. Troy.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question. I kind of feel silly asking, but I thought, hey, we'll give it a try. I have a 2-year-old son who is kind of a picky eater, and he has spooning toenails. And my concern is that maybe that could be signaling that he has a nutritional deficiency. And I thought I'd get your thoughts on that, Dr. Troy.
Hmm. Yes, actually, one of my notations here is to talk about as far as getting to know your body is to check your nails. Your nails, your skin, and your hair tell us a lot about what's going on. And in fact, spooning nails is a sign of most commonly iron deficiency. And so at that age, there are other things to just look at, but the most common cause is iron deficiency. Occasionally, it's vitamin C deficiency. The difference is with vitamin C deficiency, he'll have more colds and flus or have like a constant runny nose, that type of thing. With iron deficiency, he'll be more of a pale-looking demeanor as far as face and little dark circles under his eyes or just feeling lethargic. But generally speaking, it is iron is the first thing you'd want to look at as far as being deficient. And if there's a problem with not being able to absorb the iron, that's a low stomach acid scenario, and there are different things that can cause that. But that's where I'd look at first, those two scenarios, iron first and then vitamin C second. But your nails will tell you the story of your inability to absorb key nutrients.
Hmm. All right, we're going to grab one more. Tony from Wanakee, Wisconsin, I think that's right. Tony, tell me I'm saying that right.
You are saying it right.
Yay, thank you. You're on the air with Dr. Troy. What's your question today?
Hi.
Hey.
So I hope I don't start crying because this has been very emotional for me. I've been having some severe neck issues. And I'm a massage therapist. I've been doing it for 20 years. I'm very into my health and wellness. And most people think I live a kind of crazy life, how healthy I try to live, and it's been just quite frustrating. It's starting to affect my whole life.
You said severe neck pain, Tony?
Yes. It's all on my left side, and I just had a whole blood panel done. My doctor said, let's do a blood panel. I don't even know what they were looking for, but she didn't find anything. I had x-rays done, and I do have some moderate to severe arthritis and narrowing of a nerve root. Like I said, I don't know. It's my neck, and then it's my fatigue. I'm dealing with fatigue and kind of some depression, so I don't know if that's from the pain that I'm dealing with.
Tony, don't hang up because I want to be able to pray with you. I want to give Doc a chance to maybe ask clarifying questions, but we're going to definitely pray before we hang up. But what do you say, Doc?
Yeah, there's a lot potentially unpack here, but I want to just say that you've got a couple clues already in your statements there. The arthritis tells us that there's been an inflammatory reaction ongoing. And then the fact that it's left side, we usually see that with a problem. As a massage therapist, you'll know the levator scapular muscle goes from your shoulder blade up to the neck.
Yeah.
The majority of neck pain occurs because of the muscles contracting. So think of when people are in a stress state, their muscles become very, very contracted. They'll oftentimes seek out massage therapists to help with that. Now, it's not just mental stress. Mental, chemical, and physical stressors all can cause this same reaction. So if there is a core weakness or pelvic rotation physically where the right side of your pelvis is back, then that will cause a physical counter rotation affecting the left side of the neck. If there is digestive disturbances in the stomach region, that will refer to the left shoulder and cause tension there as well. If you don't remember your dreams or you don't wake up feeling rested or restored, There's a sleep disorder called upper airway resistance syndrome where you have a stress response in the middle of the night instead of deep sleep. The occiput rotates and it causes anything from headaches to neck pain or neck tension. So that is something that also can be contributing to this. The bottom line is something is triggering the muscles to contract and be out of balance, and then that's what causes the pain. The fact you have arthritis tells us that there might be a stress component, either emotionally or chemically with diet. Inflammatory foods like dairy sensitivities are the number one cause. So I always tell people to start on the diet, see if there's anything causing inflammatory reaction to the stomach. H. pylori infection is maybe what the doctor was looking for, but things like that can also play into it. We do see SIBO and upper GI problems cause or refer to the neck as well. So a lot of times there's intestinal inflammation. And for people, there are many people that come in and they'll come in and they'll say, I've got migraines. And we find that they fall into a category called abdominal migraines. Hmm. Abdominal migraines are basically inflammation in the intestinal tract that causes head and neck tension problems. And so it's more common and it gets missed more times than not. So the digestive system is crucial to make sure when you push on your digestive tract.
With that, pretty much. I used to have a lot of GI problems. I totally have cut out dairy, sugar. I'm pretty much gluten-free. And that's why I'm so frustrated with everything, because I'm studying this stuff all the time. Mm. So I do try to, my stomach has been good. I don't get headaches.
I'm so sorry. I have to jump in just because we've got other calls coming in and we're not. No, it's okay. But we're not really technically supposed to try to diagnose over the air. We want to, I want to pray for you. But do you have any other advice that you'd like to offer?
Yeah. So this is what I want everyone to hear too, because when you try, when you do something as well as she's done, or she's ruled out a lot of the stuff originally, you keep doing that and then you build off of that. There are other emotional and physical components here, or chemical components. So there still could be a hidden infection. There's a stress response somewhere. It has to be identified. An occiput subluxation can cause this entire thing. And the it's called cervical imbrication, where the neck is compressed. So it's still important to identify what else could be going on physically with the occiput and with the airway and the imbalances from left to right. Sometimes cervical traction and other things can be put into play there. There is an answer for what's going on here. It has to be looked in those three areas, mentally, chemically, and physically. So one thing that I found, and this is just, I have no idea if this is relevant in your scenario, but if there's any time that there has been like unforgiveness or something along those lines, it tends to manifest as a stress response and arthritis in the neck. When that's the thing. So if you look at your life and you've really worked on the diet stuff, there might be some physical imbalances that just haven't been found yet, or there might be some stressors emotionally like that, or the sleep disorder can set that off too.
I want to pray for Tony. Father, we just lift her up, and I pray. I thank you for just the insight Dr. Troy's offered here, and I pray, God, that you would lead her to someone in her community like Dr. Troy who can help move her to this next place of healing. And we ask you to put your precious hand on her and you'd make the crooked way straight, God, that you'd support every system in her body so it would support life and health. I just pray you would take this, what the enemy has meant for evil, and turn it for good in her life. I pray that it would just bring an upgrade in her relationship with you and her wisdom as a massage therapist, and you would just teach her and use her as she comes out of this. We just pray for just a miraculous turnaround in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Tony, for calling today. We're going to grab one more call. Emily from Sioux Falls has a question about digestive issues. Hey, Emily, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yes, what's your question for them?
So just been dealing with some digestive issues probably over the last couple of months, and also getting really tight stomach pain, upper tight pain. I then also get stomach issues with not being able to go to the bathroom normally, diarrhea, etc. And I've been directed to take milk of magnesia from my doctor. And because at one point I was told to take an x-ray of my stomach and I was completely backed up in my stomach. And so I've taken milk of magnesia probably 3 or 4 times. And the first time, a couple times, she wants me to take it and have a normal bowel movement, then stop. Then as of recently, it's take it, but take it as long as you can until your stool is clear, because she thinks I'm just so backed up. So today I am home. I've got severe tight pain now, this lower in my stomach, and you know, dealing over a couple or several months before this, dealing with some heart issues, rapid pace as well. So that's kind of my story.
So sorry, Emily. What do you say, Doc?
So, again, this is very common, and this is very similar to what I was just speaking on before. The mechanism of how abdominal migraines cause a migraine, the rapid heart could be a part, could be an issue with the heart, but it also could be what's happening in the abdomen. So the your doctor was right. You want to work on the constipation side of this. The first thing we want to do is get the bowels moving again. So I'll walk through that a little bit. There is a mechanism where neurologically, though, there is what's called a visceral somatic reflex. Just like when someone has a heart attack, they can feel pain down their left arm. We can treat the left arm all we want. The real problem is the heart. With the heart racing, it's not uncommon to have that secondary to intestinal spasm where the small intestine and large intestine come together. So I just want for the listeners to be very clear here on this too. When you have constipation, the end stage of constipation is diarrhea. So diarrhea occurs when there's a blockage, and not to be too graphic over the radio, but it's basically a tube that's all just congested. But when that tube kind of expands a little bit and the water gets around the blockage area, it'll pull the stool from the end, and that's the diarrhea episode. But it is felt like cramping and pressure. So everything that you are describing really is indicative of constipation as the primary problem, including potentially the heart stuff. So magnesium is very much needed. However, in order for magnesium to work in the bowels, you have to have enough water. So it's important to be hydrated first and foremost. I'm a huge fan of introducing other forms of magnesium as well. In fact, one of the things I brought today was a list of high magnesium foods and some of the magnesium that people need supplement-wise. Magnesium glycinate and magnesium citrate can help with the magnesium deficiencies, and magnesium deficiency is the number two deficiency worldwide, only behind iodine.
Hmm.
There are over 400 different enzyme reactions in the body that magnesium is dependent upon. So we have to get our magnesium levels up, and sometimes we'll have people as high as 3,000 milligrams of magnesium to get their bowels moving. So what I like to do is continue to massage the abdomen to get it going. Keep slowly increasing your magnesium over every 3 days and drinking plenty of water, especially during the day. Use a massager to really massage and mix things up there. It might be a little uncomfortable, but we want to get things broken up and moving through the bowels. And then the other thing that will really dehydrate people in the intestinal tract is anything that causes or makes acid or inflammation.
Like caffeine.
And the byproducts of fungus or yeast. So sometimes those things have to be treated.
Hmm.
Also, inflammatory foods that you are ingesting, like alcohol or coffee, can also cause problems. And sugar, the big one. So if you go to a low inflammatory diet but keep massaging everything, you can start to move things through and then see if there's anything else going on. But the constipation is first and foremost, and it could be affecting the majority of this. And so there is a method to the madness. You have to do it slow and steady, but I like to hit it with a little heavier hammer than just milk and magnesia as far as just building up the magnesium. And if you have loose stools for a couple of days, that's just the beginning. So loose stools that are different than your diarrhea episodes, you'll be able to know when you're fully having regular bowel movements. There's a chart you can Google online called the Bristol Stool Chart.
Hmm. He carries it with him wherever he goes.
I do.
I'm just telling you, he's got it at the ready. You want to see a healthy stool? Talk to Dr.
Yep.
Troy.
Yeah, it's better than people. Yeah, I've had people send in pictures too. No, for all the listeners, no need to see that. I'm good.
Well, I'll tell you, I take 900 milligrams of magnesium at night, and Doc prescribed that or suggested I start that to help me sleep because it relaxes you as well. So, and it is so good. I mean, I've noticed again, I took a giant leap forward. Another thought is there's a combo of essential oils you can rub on your tummy while you're doing everything else Dr. Troy's saying. And I have something called a spicy hug, and it's just one of those neck wraps that's got, it's amazing. But you put it in your microwave, you put those oils on your tummy, and you put that hot thing on your belly, and that can really move some things around.
Yeah, absolutely. And the heat itself is a good idea because that will actually bring more blood flow to that area. Now, people who are in some level of chronic stress or not sleeping will not get good blood flow to their digestive system. So it's important to really improve the heat and blood flow there. And then there is one thing in women in particular, thyroid problems can also contribute to constipation issues and the bowel stuff. So there are things that potentially unwrap there, but if you work on the basics and get the constipation addressed and then build off of that, you can get to the next layer if it's there.
All right. So sorry to keep you holding, Frank. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about just general tips on how to build up your reserves as you enter into this next season, because lots of people are sick. We don't want you to get sick. And remember, every single step towards health and healing matters. More with Dr. Troy in just a moment. Studio, don't mind us. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. It is that great day. Once a month, we get to have Dr. Troy in studio to answer your health and healing questions. And Kathy is a listener who emailed, and I promised her we'd get to her question. So we're going to take Frank. That's the last call we'll take. We'll take Kathy's email, and then we're going to talk about some general. We're going to try to do all of that in 7 minutes on your market set. Let's go. Frank, we got to do this kind of quickly. You had a question about vitamins. What say you?
Yes, I've heard that there's a book out there that some expert has published that compares the different types of different products on the market and how actually effective they are for being absorbed by the body. Mm-hmm. For one type of product for vitamin A, another type of product for vitamin
B,
et cetera. It's supposed to be a very significant reference work of sorts. But done by a guy who's really compared these different products and gotten some idea of how effectively the body can absorb them.
Hmm. Wow, Frank, what do you say, Doc? Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, I think I'm familiar with that book. I believe it's the Nutri Comparative Guide written by Lyle McWilliams. He's a Canadian researcher who looked at over a couple thousand different supplements and looked at their bioavailability. So you can order that at Noble
Barnes. Noble Barnes. Or Amazon.
Noble Prize. Or Amazon. And yeah, it's a good reference. He talks about how he assessed the vitamins. And it is I'm glad you brought that up, Frank, because it is a good way to discern just different pros and cons with each vitamin. And he does not have a tie to any one company or anything like that. So it's a very good scientific approach to look at it. We actually have it on our library shelf at the office.
As a rule, you like USANA, and what are the others that you tend to?
So Thorn is a good company. I've used locally here in town, Nutrition Dynamics has a lot of good products. And then some of the ones that I used to like, one was just sold to a company where they changed the ownership, changed to more of a pharmaceutical approach, and they changed the quality of the ingredients. So I'm not endorsing that one as much anymore. But
interesting.
So I don't even want to say their name right now. Yeah. But there's a handful. A lot of them are in the top 5 to 10 that are in that Lyle McWilliams book.
Wow. So, all right, let's get that title one more time.
Nutri Comparative Guide.
Interesting. I might have to grab that. Okay. Kathy says, my granddaughter has trouble taking a nap or going to bed. She gets out of bed constantly. She's 3. They've tried everything they can think of. Is it possible it's a nutrition thing? Any help is appreciated.
Yes. So there's a lot of variables here, but nutrition can be definitely part of it. So the first thing is with toddlers, first of all, you have to make sure it's not personality. So there are some that just, that's their personality. They just want to be up and not miss out on anything. So know the child's personality. Secondly is definitely anything that causes inflammation in the GI tract can cause a problem. There's also certain genetic things where their liver can't detoxify the adrenaline or the dopamine out of the body as efficiently. So if you give them any type of sugar too late at night, even if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that can keep them up. And so there's blood sugar regulation issues. There is the inability to detoxify the dopamine, which means if they watch TV before going to bed, they can get too excited. So you have to look at those factors.
Interesting.
Also, there is a lot of research showing that if children get strep and recently got strep within the last year, it can induce an attention deficit type scenario with hyperactivity. And so it can be an undiagnosed strep infection in the intestinal tract. So the throat and everything else might be better, but they may actually have the strep in the intestinal tract. And overusage of antibiotics can do that. So if she was put on antibiotics for a strep infection but not given probiotics afterwards, that can do it. And
wow.
There is S. Boulardii is really good at helping reestablish that. But sometimes you need to go back on antibiotics to kill off the strep in the gut and then get the actual probiotics built back up.
So as a rule, if a child has to go on antibiotics, I suppose it's a case obviously with adults, but with children, it's ideal to maybe follow up with yogurt or other probiotics. Are there probiotic sources for children that you like?
Yeah, so yogurt's number one, but it's got to be live strain.
Yeah.
And a lot of the yogurt doesn't actually have live strain, so just be very discerning there. The commercials, believe it or not, they kind of mislead you on a lot of them.
That's shocking.
Weird, yeah.
Sorry.
And then the other stuff like kimchi and sauerkraut, just kids just don't like that as much, so hard to get them in there. There is clean pickles, actually, is one that actually does give some. Other than that, it's usually just getting probiotic sticks and dumping them in whatever they're consuming.
So very good.
That's usually what I recommend for the kids, is just getting a probiotic stick and dumping it right into whatever they're eating.
I have a question. I'm kind of putting you on the spot, so feel free to say what you need to say. You're good at saying no, but I wonder if we can hang on after the show and keep recording for just a little bit, because you came armed with some lists, and we're actually going to try to put them on the podcast like a downloadable form. Kim, is that right? Just some lists that Doc came in with today that will really help us shore ourselves up and build up our reserves. But we've got probably like a minute and a half. What do you want to say just for, first of all, will you join us after the show?
Yeah, I was going to say, my first thing to say is you never give me an opportunity to say no, but my answer is yes.
That's true, because I almost didn't give an opportunity. I'm just like, I think I saw him smile. That's a yes, right? So you're saying there's a chance. Sorry. Anyway, so we're going to do some bonus recording after. So if you are a podcast fan of Middays, which I just love that we have podcast listeners around the world who don't even know we're actually a radio show. I don't know why. I just think that's kind of fun. But when we load the podcast, there'll be some bonus material here that we're going to hang on. So now we got just about a minute. What maybe you want to say to listeners today who maybe won't be able to catch the podcast? Just best advice you can give them for shoring up their lives right now in this season.
So I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, but generally what we talked about is being very, very discerning about eating right, what's good for you, exercising. If you exercise and you feel worse from it, that shouldn't happen. Only in the beginning does that happen. So if you're still exercising a month later and you're feeling worse from it, something else is going on. Sleep, it's not just are you asleep, are you waking up feeling rested, are you remembering your dreams? Those are two key areas to see if you're getting into deep sleep. Managing your stress, a lot of people think they are, but your body can tell you otherwise. If your muscles are tight, if you're having stress responses, just pay attention to it. Things that can interfere with that are hormone changes. Deficiency worldwide is, the number one is iodine. Iodine is needed for thyroid. 70% of women in the United States and Canada have thyroid dysfunction. Vitamin D is a hormone, and so that one is very much needed, and we need that from the sun. Insulin and cortisol imbalances are more common than thyroid disorders. And then men, they have a lot of low testosterone that can come from all kinds of disorders. Your inability to detoxify is also important, and that's where methylation comes in. You need clean air, food, and water. If there's a musty smell, you got to get rid of it. So what do you do? give things time to work. Generally, a good reaction, give it 2 or 3 weeks before you make decisions. You will have ups and downs. Make sure you know what you're putting in your mouth. The big five right now: sunlight to increase your vitamin D, B6 for sleep and stress management. Methylation helps you detox, helps your brain chemistry, helps with histamine metabolism, estrogen metabolism, fat metabolism, eye and liver health, energy, and it protects your DNA against cancer and your heart. So it's really important. 60% of people have a genetic deficiency with this. Eat Brazil nuts 5 a day, and that'll give you 200 milligrams, micrograms of selenium, and magnesium, magnesium, magnesium.
Thanks for listening to Business Middays with Susie Larson podcast.
We'll be back.
These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.